Welcome inside the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast. I'm your host, John Ledyard from over at FanRagSports.com. You can follow me on Twitter at Ledyard NFL Draft, L-E-D-Y-A-R-D NFL Draft. And alongside me is Trevor Sikkema, not physically, but in spirit. You can follow him on Twitter at Tampa Bay Trey, T-R-E. And he covers the Tampa Bay Buccaneers for PewterReport.com. And we are talking NFL draft related topics as always, but we have a funeral for a few more teams that got eliminated this week. Wanted to make sure we get to them because we won't have a podcast tomorrow. And we'll be back on Friday for week 17 predictions as we always are on Fan Friday. We'll be back there and we'll talk about not only who we think will win in week 17, but how that sets up the playoff picture as well. And some thoughts on that just for a fun show. And then we'll be back draft related heavy, the following Monday, bowl game heavy actually too, as those games are starting to heat up and we're going to have some observations about those after this weekend for sure. So Trev, here we are, we're looking at two new teams that have fallen by the wayside. The Dallas Cowboys, who looked like things were setting up pretty nice for them after the early games. Then they lose to Seattle. They get eliminated from the playoffs. Detroit gets eliminated from the playoffs. Typically, we're burying these teams before they're officially eliminated, but for these guys now, they're dead. Like it's for real over officially. And so we'll start with Dallas. It's kind of a weird season for the Cowboys. You know, people are calling for Jason Garrett to be fired. I've never been a Garrett fan, even when he's had successful seasons. I thought the more they took control away from Garrett, the more things they responsibilities they stripped of him, the better the team played. To me, that's not a great sign of a great head coach, but I think that the Cowboys still have a really talented team, but there's clearly some holes on this roster that need to be filled as well.
Yeah, I think it doesn't matter what year it is. Jason Garrett's going to have his – it's going to be a hot seat for him, right? Just because it's the Dallas Cowboys. I mean, if you don't win, people start calling for your job. So it is a weird year because last year Dak Prescott played so incredibly well for a rookie. And, you know, I feel like Dak played really well at the beginning of this year as well. But then there was so much going on with Ezekiel Elliott, not only, you know, when he wasn't playing for those 6 weeks, which you can certainly take into account, but even the games where he was playing. And it was the whole, he was going through the process. They didn't know this. They didn't know that. When's he going to sit? Is he going to sit? All this kinds of stuff. So there was a ton of whirlwind around him, but that's kind of just – that's really the on-the-surface stuff. I think if you get into the deeper layers of why the Cowboys might have struggled this year, missed the playoffs, all of that, there are some – you know, like how their defense performed, how some of their rookies performed. I mean, they're starting Jordan Lewis. Were they starting Taco Charlton technically?
He played a lot in the last two games, I think, at least. He's not starting.
I mean, like he's – but I mean, like they've had some rookies in there that, again, like you and I have been over this a couple of times.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you can't necessarily fully judge rookies in their rookie year. You know, if they play well, it's almost like a bonus because they're supposed to take a little bit more time than that. But I think the big problem for Dallas, what happened to Dez Bryant?
Right, like, I agree. That's the big thing.
What happened to him? Dez Bryant was a top five wide receiver.
For a three-year stretch, yeah.
And it was an understood, right? Mm-hmm. And it was just like Dez is one of the premier wide receivers in the NFL. Now he didn't even – like even if – people can say, well, they sometimes don't throw on the ball as much. There's mm-hmm. This with the offense. It's based around Zeke now, and they're doing a lot of run option with Dak Prescott. It's not Tony Romo back there, all kinds of stuff. But, dude, even when they throw the ball to Dez, he's not even the same guy. So
yeah.
I think that's a big problem when anytime you have an elite player at a position on your team and that for some reason goes away, that's a problem.
Right.
So I think Dez regressing is a huge problem for Dallas.
Well, it is, and they need a wide receiver because not only has Dez regressed, and when you say regressed, it's an interesting term because what I think is exactly what you said. I don't think Dez creates when the ball's in his hands anymore. He used to be one of the best receivers in the league after the catch. He doesn't do that anymore. You know, that you rarely see Dez creating with the ball in his hands at this point in his career. And he's never been great at separation or, you know, the most elite route runner, although I think he's improved in that area or he had improved in that area as his career went on. But he's still great at the catch point. He's still great in the red zone. You know, he could still play for sure, but he's not a top 10 wide receiver anymore. He's just not. And so getting a guy to fill that role, that's maybe a little better of a fit with Dak Prescott. You know, Dak Prescott's a safe passer. He's not a, you know, throw it up in contested situations or, you know, try and exploit tight coverage type of passer. That's not who he is, and that's what Dez Bryant really needs. So it's not a great fit between the two of them. Terrence Williams has just had a long and disappointing career in Dallas, and I don't know how he's still there. He looks like he should have been cut every single year. I think he's, like, locked up for, like, the next 3 years, too. So they're just kind of scared of them.
I'm with you there. I don't know how he's still there.
I don't get it. I mean, he's going to be there from 2013 to, like, 2020. It's insane. But Cole Beasley, he was a total dud this year. And he was the guy that looked like he gelled well with Prescott last year. He's done absolutely nothing this year. I think he has one game over 50 yards receiving. So that's been – all three of them have been totally disappointing. Obviously, Dak didn't play well, but he's clearly your guy for the future. Ezekiel Elliott's clearly your guy for the future. You know, to me, I look at this offense and I say, maybe you get to bring somebody in to challenge Jonathan Cooper at left guard, but Tyron Smith, Travis Frederick, Zach Martin, Lyle Collins – locked and solid, set in stone. I think you could have a really great offensive line. Again, I know they struggled through some injuries this year. Collins was a little up and down, but I thought he really found it at the end of the season. I think this can be the best offensive line in football again next year if they're fully healthy. They're going to run the ball at a high level. You're going to have Zeke back for full schedule. I am not like overly concerned about Dallas, but they need a playmaking wide receiver who can separate. Calvin Ridley fits what I have in mind, to be honest, for Dallas. I just don't know if he'll be on the board. I'm sure he won't be the only one. Christian Kirk could be an interesting fit as well. But they've got that, and I think they need a tight end. But again, that's something you can address maybe later. Jason Witten's fallen off. There's some hope with some of the guys on the roster. But I think that if that's something you can address in the middle rounds and still get a player there, and this tight end group looks like there should be at least some suitable options, I think you're fine. Then you look defensively, and you mentioned it. Like, it's hard to judge this secondary group because, okay, Byron Jones is your first-round pick. Even though he had a down year, he's clearly your guy coming back next season. I don't think they're going to move on from him. Jordan Lewis and Chidobe Awuzie played really well down the stretch this season. Xavier Woods flashed a ton. He looked impressive. Skandrick's probably gone. Anthony Brown's still around. I know he didn't have a great year either, but you've seen good things from three of your rookies in the secondary, and Byron Jones is going to be there. That's a great start. I don't think that defensive back is a big priority for this team. And you have Sean Lee fully healthy. Anthony Hitchens is a free agent. If he comes back, I'm not sure linebacker's a huge priority because Jalen Smith came along at the end of the year, and some people are going to disagree with me and say a linebacker needs to be picked up, but you know, maybe you look for another pass rusher, but I don't think you can do that at this point. You got to give Taco Charlton a shot. DeMarcus Lawrence is an animal. And David Irving, you have a rotational guy. Where I look at Dallas as needing real help on the defensive side of things is in the middle at a nose tackle, or they need big run stuffers inside. They just don't have that. They have a bunch of guys that are good three technique fits. They don't have a real run plugger. But again, that's a guy you can find in the middle rounds. I really look at this Cowboys roster and I think if they're fully healthy and you get maybe a linebacker, a defensive, a nose tackle maybe, and a tight end in the middle rounds, and you spend your top pick on a wide receiver, this team is one of the best in the NFL again. If Dak can get back to where he was and that offensive line can consistently keep him clean.
Yeah, and just going back to Garrett, Jason Garrett, they've, like you said, I think that they have played well this year in areas where they might be a little bit ahead of schedule. Certainly you mentioned there in the secondary, depending on if they can bring David Irving back for free agency. I believe he's a free agent this year because I think I looked last year and he was a restricted free agent.
No, I don't see him on here.
Is he not?
No, they don't really have any. Jonathan Cooper, Alfred Morris. Oh, DeMarcus Lawrence, he's the one, but he's going to get paid.
Oh, okay.
But Hitchens and Lawrence are really the only two good players.
I mean, you don't let pass rushers go anyway. So sure. Like Lawrence is going to stay on the Cowboys. They're not going to let him go. But I think on paper, what you were talking about with Dallas, we have seen instances where, you know, for example, you know, like two years ago, the offensive line was as dominant as they could be. You know, one of the best in the NFL. They still have basically all the pieces there to make that happen again. Last year, you have the incredible combo of Dak and Elliott playing well when they were clicking on all cylinders. Right. I think that's kind of established as well. So I think it's kind of just it's going to be a coaching thing. And you wonder if Garrett's going to be back, if you trust him to get the most out of these guys yet again. You know, obviously, they're going to trade for Earl Thomas now that Earl Thomas said that he wanted to be a Cowboy. So they're going to trade Dez for Earl Thomas straight up. well, that was weird, right? Can we talk about that?
It was funny. I didn't have like a huge issue with it. Like some people had a huge issue with it.
I don't have an issue with it.
It was weird though.
Weird
timing.
It was just really weird. And I'm normally all for, hey, you are the player. Like
right.
You can shoot your shot, try and determine like your destiny, where you want to go, the spot you want to be. So, like, I'm normally all for that, but that was just so weird of him to go, yeah, I went over there, and, you know, I just told him, hey, come get me. You know, not right. – but then he's like, not right now, though, not right now.
When the Seahawks kick me to the curb.
When the Seahawks kick me to the curb, and I'm like, what are you talking about,
bro,
man?
I live for the 30 for 30 that will someday come out about the Seattle Seahawks and, like, the personalities there. I mean,
dude.
Michael Bennett, Frank Clark, you've got Richard Sherman, Russell Wilson is a clown.
Think,
you know, there's so many goofy dudes.
I think they could actually do a 30 for 30 on the formation, the rise, the success,
yes.
the dominance, and then the total regression of what the Legion of Boom has been.
Right. And part of
so
that's
like,
just getting decimated
by
injuries.
I'm totally in for that 30 for 30.
Yeah. I think it'd be unbelievable. I mean, there's so many personalities, even guys that you never even hear, but like, guys further down the roster, like they're out there in games and they're scrapping with people, getting in people's faces. They just attract that type of personality Seattle's all about. And it is funny because Earl is like a different dude in so many ways. I read that he like used to like literally, I don't know if he sleeps on like the weight room floor the night before games in the facility. Like he doesn't even go home. Like he just wants to be close because he loves football that much. And he like will study tape till like he falls asleep in the room. I was like,
when we're at the combine in the Senior Bowl this year, we gotta ask people, how do you feel about sleeping on the weight room floor?
Right.
And how they answer that, we'll know their commitment. We'll be able to find any Earl Thomases in the rough.
Fantasy football fans, listen up. It's not too late to join the 500,000 people that have already downloaded Draft this season. You get to play in a real live snake draft, but you're done in under 5 minutes and they last for just 1 week. You can join one right now for week 17. The best part, play for cold hard cash and get this, your chances of winning are 80% better than on the salary cap sites. All new players get a free entry into a real money draft when you make your first deposit, but you have to use the promo code LONFL. That's right, play a real money game for free just by using the promo code LONFL, and it gets even better. Draft is so sure you'll love it that they're even offering Locked On NFL Draft listeners a money back guarantee up to $100. Just search Draft in your app store or go to draft.com and come play free right now with the promo code LONFL. Make sure you guys check that out on draft.com or search Draft in the app store. Really fun daily fantasy football game. Trevor and I have lost a lot of cheese playing that game, but it's a lot of fun for sure. The Cowboys, Trev, this is a team that I really think is going to bounce back and be okay. I know that Cowboys fans are in panic mode because they expect this team to win the Super Bowl every year, but yeah, there's a lot of adversity this year. And when I look at the roster, I think what if they got Calvin Ridley or quality wide receiver in round one, and then they went to round two and they picked up Derek Nnadi or somebody like that for their run defense. I mean, all
sure.
of a sudden we're talking about a really dangerous team without a lot of holes. So I think they're in a good spot. They don't have any major free agents over the next couple of years. They have DeMarcus Lawrence this year, maybe Anthony Hitchens, and Zach Martin next year. And that's it for really any contributor that matters on this team until 2020. So they've got a nice chance to bounce back, have a really good season. I know the NFC is so strong, and that may be what ultimately limits them. But I still feel like if they don't lose Tyron Smith for those couple games and they don't lose Ezekiel Elliott for six games, I really feel like this is still probably a playoff team. And they lost Sean Lee for a couple games. I mean, that's three or four most valuable players.
The NFC was real tough this year. So
yeah, that too.
I mean, if you know, if you're going to have a down year, I get, you know, this was the year to do it. You know, mm-hmm. I guess, you know, strike with your luck next season. Hopefully the NFC is not as much of a juggernaut, but no, I'm with you. I think they're only a couple pieces away.
Detroit maybe had the most disappointing loss of last week. I mean, to lose to the Bengals, the way the Bengals had looked the previous weeks with your season on the line, that might be enough to give Jim Caldwell the boot. Suddenly we're seeing the seat heat up for a lot of coaches. And I think Jim Caldwell could be one of them, because that was, you can't lose to the Bengals with your season on the line, man. That's just unacceptable.
I've just got to say, we do on Fridays, not only do we do the Fan Fridays, but we do the NFL lines for people who might be new to this podcast. And I feel like for the last 8 weeks that more than half of the time you have been like, I mean, Detroit's got to win this week, right? And like you every time we get to the Lions, and it's literally just a coin flip. Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. And now they're in this situation where here we are, final week of the season, they've already been eliminated, which means they have been on the opposite side of the Detroit has to win, right? Question more often than not.
Yeah, but I won't say it this week. Let's say that.
There you go. But yeah, Detroit's just, man, Detroit's kind of a weird situation, because I don't hate Caldwell as a coach, but like, how much would I trust him to be a guy to get you over the top? That's a question that I have of him. And when you have a franchise quarterback like Matt Stafford in place, I mean, aren't you just trying to catch lightning in a bottle and get over the top? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, is that not what you're trying to do? You have to. Certainly, there are years where you're building a franchise, you're building a roster, you're getting to where you need to be. But there comes a time, certainly once you have your franchise quarterback in place, where there's probably like a 4 to 5 year window where you're really just trying to catch fire. And I think within those 4 or 5 years, you're going to have at least one decision. Well, good decision, I should say. If you're a bad team, maybe more than one. But you'll have at least one decision where you'll have the opportunity to make a change at coach to possibly get that spark that you need to make a deep playoff run and possibly hit the big time 1 year and trust your luck, trust the roster you built, and trust your franchise quarterback and make it happen. I don't know if I see that happening with Caldwell, even though I don't like hate him as a coach. There's only a certain amount of assassin, like mental assassin head coaches, if you will, these guys who I just think that have the mindset to put you over the top. And I think you've got to pair that with a franchise quarterback. So I don't really know what the Lions do there. I think that a move might be coming, even though I don't think that they're as dire as, say, another team that makes a head coach change.
Right. It just seems like can this guy take them to the next level? And I don't know that there's reason to look at Caldwell and say that he can, because he's been there for a long time, and they haven't. They've looked the same every year. You know what I mean?
Right. And I mean, like, I think he's solid. I think Detroit's competitive. You know, like, sometimes they beat some good teams. Sometimes they don't, but yeah. I don't know. I just feel like he always has the Lions playing to their competition, right?
Yep.
And half of that's a good thing, because you play well against good teams, and half of that's a bad thing where you're in, you know, you lose to the Bengals. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So I just think that if the Lions are going to make it over the top, I think they got to make a change.
Here's the big thing to me that has to change in Detroit. This team, 2014, their fifth worst rushing offense. 2015, worst rushing offense. 2016, third worst rushing offense. 2017, worst rushing offense. They've been in the bottom five in rushing offense each of the last 4 years. I mean, Stafford has to do everything.
Right. No, I'm with you. They played the Buccaneers this year when they were down here in Tampa, and they make a lot of I guess I'll say boneheaded, boneheaded decisions on third and two or like third and three or something. And they're five wide. And it's like, what are you doing? And
yeah.
I understand that like sometimes you just don't have the personnel. You know, Amir Abdullah is not a guy who is going to power you through a football game. Okay.
Or be good at all.
Theo Riddick, same thing. Like that. Like I understand that sometimes you don't have the personnel to make that happen. But like, look, go get the personnel to make that happen. This is part of the game of football. You cannot, even though that we are in 2017, about to be in 2018. We live in an age where, it's basically air raid or die. running the football matters, and it's like especially in situations like that, you still have to be a football team that can look at third and two, that can look at third and three, and you can pick that up. You have to be able to do that. And some teams just don't even attempt it. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers are another team that's like that. And that's a big problem with their offense. They're not able to control the game, no matter how good Jameis Winston is playing, okay? No matter how good Matt Stafford is playing. if you can't run the ball, especially on short yardage situations to keep moving the sticks, you will not have quote unquote control of the game. And if you can't control the game, then that goes back to what we were talking about. You're in it versus the good teams, but you're also in it versus the bad teams. And you'll never be able to dominate the competition that you should be able to dominate if you can't run the football.
While you've been speaking, I've been going back through the years and just looking in terms of rushing offense. And I'm back to 2006, and the Lions have been in the bottom 10 in the league. I think, what is that, 10 years, 11 years? I think they've been in the bottom 10 in the NFL in rushing 7 times and in the bottom 5, 6 times. And they've never been better than league average. I'm going back 2005 now. 2006, they were the worst rush. I think they've been the worst rushing offense 4 years in the last 10.
How do we feel about Darius Geis?
Dude, I know what we say about first round running backs, and here we are, 2005. They're the 7th worst team in the NFL. I mean, we're going back when all the teams did was run the football. I mean, but I know how we feel about running backs in the first round, but isn't this just the exception? You got to get a top-end playmaker in this offense that can run the freaking football. I mean, you invested in offensive line. You brought in Ricky Wagner. You brought in TJ Lang. You drafted Taylor Decker in the first round. These are really good offensive linemen that you can build around. Travis Swanson has finally stepped up. I know he still has concussion issues, but he's a guy that's played okay at center, doable at center. You need a left guard for sure. You hope you can find one. But, man, they have the receivers. They have the quarterback. They don't have anything close to the running back. I mean, Teon Green, Dwayne Washington, Zach Zenner, none are even close to the answer. Amir Abdullah, he's a situational third down receiving type back, if at best. I don't even know if he should be back. Theo Riddick, keep around. He's really great in his role. But again, there's not even anybody here with a semblance of the ability to run the ball as a feature back. They need that.
And I think we're, you know, when you're saying there, like, should they pick a running back, you know, in the first round, all this kind of stuff. Well, I do think that certainly I think it's a principle that you need to look at the running back position with sort of a value cap, knowing what other positions might mean. But look at the Lions roster. I mean, they have their quarterback. Okay. They have Ezekiel Ansah, a pass rusher. Could they use another one? Oh, yeah, maybe, I guess. You talked about the offensive line. They have good names, good guys on the offensive line, and then they have their shutdown corner in Slay. So those are the cornerstone positions of football that I think that they have addressed, that they have in place, which allows you to then, like you just said, if you were in a situation where you have been in the bottom of the league for the last 10 years in rushing the football, maybe it's time to get a guy in there. I would actually love to see Darius Geis in this.
Oh my gosh, it'd be awesome.
That'd be fun. That'd be awesome.
I hope they would run the ball, you know, if they got a back like that. But, I mean, it is. I found the last time. I don't think I did, actually. There they are. Still bottom 12. Nope. I'm back to 2000, dude. I'm back to 2000. We're going to go all the way back to the Barry Sanders years here. And there was at least 3 or 4 more of them in the bottom 5 since that time. I mean, this team.
Wow.
And I know we're getting back to, yeah, here they are, 1999, 4th worst in the NFL, 77 yards per game on the ground. Unbelievable. We're getting to years that have no logical, you know, carryover to now, except for the fact that the Lions still haven't won diddly squat since Barry. I mean, really, even with Barry, because their team was bad then, but they haven't been able to do anything on the ground for ages. And eventually, it's got to change, man. You got to give Matt Stafford some help. He's had to do everything his entire career on offense, and he's not even always had the best receivers. And now Kenny Galladay's looked good. Marvin Jones has had a great year. Golden Tate's functional in his role. You know, I think you have the talent to be able to win there. I know a lot of people talk about Eric Ebron and getting traded and stuff like that, but he's came on over the second half. I mean, he's had some really good games. I mean, he's really stepped up, I think, in some ways for this team. So you have weapons like him and Theo Riddick, and you look at the defensive side of the ball, and I think you're right. They have some good staple players. Yo, the other position, real position of need to me is you got to get better on the interior defensive line. And if Ziggy Ansah leaves, which I think is a decent possibility, you've got to probably find another. I mean, I know Kerry Hyder missed the entire season. He's been a good player for them. So maybe there's a way to, you know, find another guy on the edge as well. Maybe he's on your roster if they think that way about Hyder. He did have a really nice year 2 years ago. You know, I feel like you got to kind of go with what you got at linebacker. Reeves, Maben, and Davis, those guys got to develop and be the future there. Like you said about Slay, Glover Quinn is a beast. Quandre Diggs has had a nice season. You know, Lawson and Tabor, those are going to be the guys you ride with a corner. I feel like the secondary's basically set. Killebrew's got his role. So I think they have to feel good about where they're at there. Jamal Agnew flashed some nice things. But I think you have to get better on defensively up front. You have to find another pass rusher, and you have to get a running back. And maybe you can find a running back in the second round in this draft, but the Lions can't come away in the first two rounds without a freaking running back. And I don't say that lightly. You know, I agree with you that I feel like it's not a high position of value, but
for the Lions it is.
Oh my gosh, man. For this team, get yourself some offensive balance. And in the meantime, I'm trying to find the last time that they weren't. Here it is, 1998. That's the last time they ran for over 100 yards per game on average. They were 10th in the NFL, 122 yards. Was Barry still playing in 1998? We're about to look it up. Unfreaking believable, dude. That long. It's been that bad. I feel like they haven't. I think somebody told me the other day they haven't had a 100-yard rusher in like 3 years or something like that. Just insane. Yep, Barry Sanders, baby. 343 carries for almost 1,500 yards, average 4.3 yards per carry. There he was, 1998. That's the last time that they were in the top half of the league in rushing.
That's crazy.
Straight up nuts. That's so anyways, crazy. If you're Detroit, get yourself a running back. Get yourself something to balance that offense with. And for sure, you've got to find a game changer on the defensive front. Because right now you can't go into next season with A'shaun Robinson and Akeem Spence and maybe Haloti Ngata if he chooses not to retire, whatever's left there. You know, you can't. That's not going to do it for you. So you got to get a lot better on the inside there moving forward. So lots to talk about with Dallas and Detroit. I don't think they're super far away. I think that they can do it, but both could be one of those situations where not good enough and they could have head coaches on their way out, and then their outlook could change depending on what happens with a new hire and what kind of moves they make and how they envision using personnel and things of that nature. So could get very interesting for both of these teams, but there is a ton of talent here. They do have some really nice pieces in place, but a couple more moves in the draft is going to be a huge part of that. We've given you some names maybe to think about for them in the early rounds for both of these teams. But we'll be back Friday. We've got a nice Fan Friday edition ready to go for you guys. Our last Fan Friday in terms of Week 17 and doing predictions and things of that nature. And we'll talk about the playoff picture a little bit as well. So until then, you make sure you keep it locked right here on Locked On NFL Draft.